Hey, what's going on, everybody? From the College of Professional and Continuing Education at Cal State Long Beach, I'm Dr. Pahul Sukhasikhan with Pacing Your Future, a podcast that charts the course of today's most exciting industries and the people that help shape them. Discover the many opportunities within the numerous fields we cover and be inspired by the stories of notable individuals who have paved their own paths. And just like our name suggests, our mission is to pace ahead, be proactive, adaptable, creative, and engaged. Whether you're seeking career insights, industry trends, or are just simply inquisitive, let's pace your future together. And today we're joined by Vicky Branuk. Vicky leverages her 20 years of experience in higher education program development, workforce development, and digital marketing strategy to grow the talent pool in California's life science industry. As a key figure at Biocom Institute California, she ensures first-to-market access to top talent through programs and strategic partnerships in education and industry. Previously, she held senior roles at Bradman University and the San Diego Workforce Partnership, building deep relationships with workforce development boards and educational institutions across California. Vicky also writes and consults on the future of work, organizational structure, change management, and program design. Vicky, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Just to start off and with something fun, we'd like to ask a fun question for all our guests. So imagine your industry is the main character in a blockbuster movie because Los Angeles, right? What's the plot and who are its main characters?
Well, that's a great question. And I don't have to look far to find an answer for that one because it's more about a franchise rather than an actual movie. And I really, when I think about life science, I think about Star Trek. There's just so much to compare with this industry and what they do in that particular show and all the and of course all the movies. You know, one of the things that is really cool is the exploration of the unknown. And life science field is all about pushing boundaries of knowledge, particularly in areas like genomics, biotechnology, and pharmaceuticals. Researchers and scientists are constantly trying to explore the unknown, whether it's decoding the human genome, whether it's developing new treatments or discovering novel diseases. There's also a lot of problem solving through technology, and life sciences often rely on cutting-edge technology such as CRISPR gene editing, artificial intelligence, robotic surgeries, innovations, and technology drives progress and understanding complex biological systems and finding solutions to health challenges. There's the collaboration and diversity of expertise. So the field is highly interdisciplinary. So biologists, chemists, engineers, clinicians, data scientists all work together to solve really complex health issues. And collaboration and diverse expertise are really essential for breakthrough drugs and development and diagnostics and treatment. And then there's the people that make that actually have to do the manufacturing. Wow. And those are people at all levels. So there is a ton of interesting things. I mean, one thing that, you know, there's the ethical dilemmas too. And so life science often grapples with ethical considerations, such as the implications of gene editing, use of stem cells, access to life-saving treatments. And the industry really has to navigate that balance between scientific progress and the ethical responsibility and how to use that knowledge effectively and ethically. Discovery of new life, that's really an interesting piece when you stop and think about it, because much like Star Trek, right, the encounters with alien life forms, life scientists are constantly discovering new species, bacteria, viruses. They often uncover surprising new biological organisms or systems that expand our understanding of life on Earth or even beyond, and they kind of like the search for extraterrestrial life. And then, of course, health and disease. You know, when you think about much of the scientific industry is really concerned with improving human health and curing diseases, prolonging life, whether it's through vaccines, cancer treatments, or regenerative medicine, the goal is really to protect and enhance human life. And then, one other one that I can think of is life science industry is about looking toward the future. And it's all about evolving and innovating to address challenges in health, to sustainability and biotechnologies, and the next big discovery or invention is always on the horizon. So,
wow. I mean, it's beautiful because it's like the explorative nature of life science is like boundless, right? And it's just the way it's can reach into so many different fields, so many different, you know, avenues and pathways that I'm sure the folks looking for a job in life science, you can just pick from different disciplines. So it's multidisciplinary, right? So.
It is. And there's opportunities at all levels. That's what's so really exciting about this particular field is, you know, you don't have to wear a white coat. You don't have to be a scientist. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of ways that you can contribute to this particular field.
But you can wear a white coat if you want to. People just want the novelty of it all, right?
You know, yeah, if you really want that white coat, that can be supplied.
I mean, going back to the question about LA, it sounds like you are giving Kevin Feige and the MCU a run for the money, right?
We're trying.
Please don't come for us, MCU. Vicky, so just about, I know you work with the Biocom California Institute. Can you just tell us a little bit about it and about you guys and how it supports the growth and development of the biotechnology and life sciences industry?
Yeah. So Biocom California Institute, we're a nonprofit, a 501c3 organization, and we are really focused on workforce development. So we are focused on strengthening the talent pipeline. When we think about all the things I just mentioned about what biotech is about, all of those things cannot be done without a really strong, talented workforce. And so you can have the greatest idea in the world, but if you don't have the workers to carry it out and you don't have the talent that's actually trained and skilled to be able to do that work, you're not going to be able to get to market. So our work at the Institute is really focused on strengthening that talent pipeline, make sure that we have that highly trained, competent, skilled workforce ready to tackle these important issues.
Nice. Just going back to the initial question in your intro, the term life science, and I mean, this whole thing is a bit about life science and introducing people and our listeners to what that actually means. With you being here, trying to demystify it for folks, can you possibly just once again define it in maybe layman's terms for those who are listening?
Yeah, so this way to think about life sciences, it really refers to the study of living things and how they work. That's pretty much it. And examples of that are biology, medicine, genetics, ecology, all of those types of things. So in essence, life science is about learning what makes life tick, whether it's in a cell, in an ecosystem, or the human body.
Okay, nice. That's great. So I'm sure like it's so cutting edge and that there's so much nuance to what life science can do and offer to the world. And it's so important that we're in California too. And I was told previously that because we're in California, life sciences are the second largest economy driver and the fifth largest economy in the world, California. In your mind, what kind of opportunities can emerge from this economic driver and how do folks potentially benefit from it?
Yeah, so we, you know, just to expand on what you just said, if you think about California and the sectors that we have here, like what's driving our economy. We have wine, agriculture, TV and film, tourism. All of those things combined do not bring in as much money to our economy as life science. So all of them together. So we are only behind tech in terms of what we contribute to the economy here. So as you can imagine, that's a pretty big contribution, and that means it's pretty widespread on the types of opportunities and the types of work and the kind of the folks that we need to have to be able to, you know, to make those things happen. The way we look at life science and biotech, right, is we have subsectors, and so we kind of break it down. So there's pharmaceuticals. Those are the companies that kind of create and produce medications and treat diseases. Then there's biotechnology. That's the business that uses biological processes and the organisms to create products, such as, you know, genetically engineered crops or innovative treatments, those types of things. So they're looking at a lot of different categories of things and how to do those things better.
Sure.
Then we have medical devices and diagnostics, and companies design and make devices like pacemakers and MRI machines, and they make tests like blood tests and imaging to be used to diagnose and treat. And then also in medical devices, you have some really interesting advancements for people who might not have, like they might have experienced something like a limb removed. And so we have devices for that now, right? So that we're making strides in those types of things. So there's a lot of really interesting and innovative things that we're doing in medical devices. And then there's healthcare services, obviously. hospitals, clinics, labs, that they apply all of this medical and biological knowledge to treat the patients.
Yeah.
And then the research in academia, of course, and those are the institutions conducting the research to help us understand the biological systems and discover new medical treatments.
Wow.
So there's like a pretty wide ranging opportunities within this sector.
That's amazing. I mean, it looks like life science and biotech, it's just like, you know, we think of it as a sphere, right? But there's so many different intersecting circles around it that make up the whole puzzle, right? And it sounds like you guys are on the precipice of like advancing life and innovation. And so in terms of innovation, what role does that play in the biotechnology industry? And how are companies contributing to addressing global challenges like climate change or health issues or even food security?
Yeah, so those are the issues that are that this sector tackles every single day.
Wow.
They're very invested in those things. How are we going to solve those issues? How do we apply what we know? And what are some of the hypotheses to be able to move that needle along? So there's a lot that goes on in all of those sectors. You know, some of the things that are being worked on right now is trying to understand how we can manufacture food more effectively, more safely, how we can be able to manufacture medicines faster, better, and how that we can have medicines that don't necessarily, where you don't necessarily experience all of the side effects, because they're more designed for how that they can interact with your body. So all of those things, and sometimes it gets a little scary for people when you start to think about the development of this, but it's really moving the needle on making humanity better. And so that's really the focus. I've never experienced a sector before that has such mission driven and cause, like they really are focused on doing better for humanity.
That's amazing. I think, like, you know, the humanistic element of it all is, I think, at the core what is important right here, because we're trying to make, or you folks, not me, but I mean you folks in life science and biotechnology and biocom, like, are trying to push life forward so that we're all, you know, working together to make something more sustainable, something more worth living, right? And like the three terms that came to mind with what you just said was, and that I imagine life science to be, is current, relatable, and necessary, right? And I think those three things could shape the value of how we see why people should think about going to working into life science, getting degrees relatable to that, you know, and the multifaceted degrees, right? And so on the same vein as thinking about innovation, how are these different innovations that you just mentioned reshaping the future of work, particularly in terms of job creation, skill requirements, and even dynamics in the workplace?
Well, because we're moving so quickly, right, with technology, and I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention the effect that AI is going to have and is having and will have. There's a lot of discussion within this sector right now on how that we can effectively and ethically use AI on things like drug developments and testings, and what we should be, you know, what we should be doing with that. So there's continual focus on looking forward and on how that we're going to be able to make these innovative leaps and how we're going to be able to use technology and other, you know, other innovations to come our way and being able to make this, you know, to be able to get our drugs or our devices or the healthcare system in a place that we're bringing better health to folks than has been in the past.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm glad you mentioned AI, because AI is everywhere, right? And like, it's just like, we think about workforce development, we think about, you know, job security, we think about all that stuff, and AI is in every conversation, right?
Yes.
It's reaching everywhere. And so I think, like, with that, thinking about AI, thinking about the future of work, thinking about what lays ahead on the horizon, what kind of new opportunities are there then on the horizon in biomanufacturing, and how can individuals seize on these potential prospects?
Yeah, so with AI, I mean, we have, you know, a few years back, and this is still very relevant, is big data, right? We've got a lot of data. And when you think about the amount of data that we're able to collect from research studies, clinical trials, all types of those types of things, we need bioinformatics folks. We need people who are able to distill that information down into something usable. And then with AI, it's one of the most requested over the last 6 months, I'd say, from our industry. It's one of the most requested skills that they're asking for. And I'm, you know, what do you need AI for? And it's like, we need people to help us understand what AI is and how that we can be able to potentially use it. So this is, if you think about tech 30, 35 years ago, and there were just people who set out to understand tech, and they were very, very highly valued. You know, how can you make a business run smoother, run sure. faster, run better? That's where we're at with AI today. But I think that this is going to be moving much faster even than tech. I've had a pretty long career, and this is I have never seen anything be adopted so quickly
yeah.
as AI is, and just with everybody. People are using AI every day more and more. So there's a lot of opportunity there. So if I were to say to somebody looking to, you know, what some other classes that you should pick up or what should you start to explore and understand, I would say try to understand AI and what the implications could be in any type of business that you're going into.
Sure.
But particularly, I think there's going to be some big impacts in science.
Yeah, my sister, just on a side note, my sister, she's a medical doctor. And I mean, she's my older sister, and so she's listening, hi. But she's always like, she's always telling me, you have to jump on AI. You have to do this. AI is the future. And she's always just like, find a class, do that. Because AI is everywhere, you know, even like at Cal State Long Beach, we use it almost every day, right?
Yes.
And it's like, but we also have to understand how to use it like correctly, right? And with some parameters and safeguards, right? But thinking about building skill sets mm-hmm. and thinking about, you know, folks wanting to get into life sciences and finding jobs within biomanufacturing and biotech industries, what are the skills and qualifications that are most in demand for these professions?
Yeah, I mean, so you can, you know, in terms of degrees, right, the engineering is big because engineering has a lot of applications across multiple sectors, the sectors that we talked about. And of course, PhDs are important and master's degrees are important. But there's a lot of certificates and other things that you can get too. The skills that are really in demand, if you're thinking from a science side, molecular biology, genetic engineering, biomanufacturers, computational biology, clinical research and trials. So, you know, just being able to be a clinical research associate, and that's people that are just managing clinical trials. So you can have management skills, business skills, and you can be able to manage those clinical trials, understand regulatory processes, laboratory techniques, just being able to understand how to cell culture, how to do protein purification. So there's some technical skills that you could almost look at as like a manufacturing skills, right? Advanced manufacturing. And some of these things just require a certificate. They just require experience. So you can actually get into this, especially in biomanufacturing, with a certificate program or some sort of understanding of what that, you know, what a clean room looks like, what some of the terminology, how do you kind of work with things and process things. So there's some really interesting opportunities there. Regulatory affairs and compliance, I mentioned that, but so it doesn't have to be that you have a science background, but having understanding how to interpret regulatory regulations. This is one of the most highly regulated industries in the United States.
Yeah.
So there is an incredible amount of care that must be taken, and rightly so. But you have to be able – you've got to have people that can understand that and be able to interpret that and provide safety. Supply chain is always very, very important in this industry, because it's not just how do you effectively move your product through the supply chain, but also how do you handle the product.
Mm.
Data analysis and statistics, of course, are important. Clinical research professionals, that's a certification. And that's really about the clinical trial management. Regulatory affairs can be a certification. And then there's also, it's like any other industry, you need finance people. You've got to have somebody that's handling the books and handling the finances. You need marketing people that are able to explain the product that you have. You need people who understand how communications folks to be able to do press releases and to be able to explain to the public what's happening. And then you need policy people who are able to explain to, elected officials what what's happening with products, so that it so that people don't misinterpret the work that's being done, because sometimes it can be highly technical.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think you just painted like a really lush like landscape of like what like is needed within biomanufacturing and biotech and the industry, right? I think it's very wide reaching. You've cast a wide net. And I think, you know, what it's important for our listeners to understand, like, is to have that imagination to see, well, where do I in my career and, you know, my skill set, where can I fit in there? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's not just necessarily life science, MA, PhD, science, you know, you said finance, you said engineering, you said all these different things, public relations, right? Like, all these different variables and all these different puzzle pieces that are needed to make the whole picture, right?
Yes.
So I think, like, that's what you did right there, is just beautifully articulated, like, the kind of breadth and wide-reaching net that could be cast. But you also, something you mentioned, Vicky, was opportunities, but also regulations. And so I'm sure, like, in thinking about hurdles and whatnot, what are the key opportunities and challenges that are currently facing the biotechnology and life sciences workforce?
The biggest hurdle right now for industry, from the industry side, is making sure that there are enough highly trained and competent workers to be able to fill the jobs. We're expecting by 2033 that biomanufacturing is going to double across the world. And that is a significant increase as more and more biomanufacturers are needed. So if you think about advanced manufacturing, that's a skill that we're starting to build for now. But that's really the most important thing, and that's why we really believe that there is a place for everybody in this industry. And we believe that there's a place for everybody who has a passion for improving the human condition. We believe there's a place for veterans, and who they've already demonstrated their commitment to a mission that's larger than themselves, and first generation college graduates who've reached a significant milestone in their families' educational journeys. And to support those groups, we've really developed a life science career exploration fellowship.
Wow.
It's a 6-month program where participants are paired with high level industry mentors, and they receive a range of supporting services and networking opportunities to help them succeed. And we've had a number of placements from that particular program. We also believe in creating opportunities for individuals from marginalized communities. That's really important to us. We've got to be able to do better in the world, right? And so through collaboration with Glendale and Flint Ridge La Cañada Workforce Development Board, as well as the Los Angeles Community Colleges, we and industry partners like Grifols, Takeda, and Prolacta, we're offering biomanufacturing technician certificate programs. And it's a certification exam that allows people who go through the community college system's biomanufacturing certificate programs to sit for an exam that is industry created to show that they have the skills and qualifications needed to succeed in that field. And we were super proud that after we created that program, that the industry came back to us and said, hey, we want to name this the Biocom Institute Technician Certification, because they really, they felt that it was such an incredible way to be able to help those folks that might not be able to afford a 4-year degree, but need to get started in a living wage job.
Yeah.
And so we're super proud of that. And we believe there's a place for those folks. And we believe that there's a place for people from other sectors, like tech workers or students with some background in healthcare that might not feel like that healthcare might be the right place for them. And so they might be looking to shift their career. So we partner with Cal State University Long Beach, and with Fullerton in Los Angeles to offer the applications and biomanufacturing certificate, and then also with Cal State Long Beach to provide the foundations of biomanufacturing course. So we're super excited about that, because we think that there's a place for all of those people within this industry, and we need them.
That's amazing. I mean, so one of the things that stuck out to me was, one, collaboration, the idea of collaborating with different organizations, with biotech and educational institutions, academic institutions, local community members, right? And so working together to build people up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And something you said earlier too, a place for everybody, I think that resonates, right? Because particularly with our college, the College of Professional and Continuing Education, It's about how do we advance people's careers? How do we, you know, have them take a look at their lives and be like, you know, if they want more, they can reach for more, right?
Yes.
That there's no, we're giving them a seat at the table, right? And which previously maybe they thought they could not dream for, right? And so like allowing these people to have access, right? And creating routes for those. So I think that's amazing. I think it then goes to this question of like, you know, how can educational institutions, like you mentioned Cal State Long Beach, better prepare students for the careers in life sciences and biomanufacturing? And are there unique strategies that institutions can implement to address the talent gap in these sectors?
Yeah, I think the thing that is, if we want to really move the needle, not only within industry to get them the workers that they need that are skilled, but also to help communities, we're going to need to make sure that the curriculum that's being developed is actually vetted by industry. And that's the place that we bridge the gap on. So yeah. We work with industry. We kind of represent, in the Los Angeles area alone, we have over 150 members that, you know, representing all those sectors that we discussed.
Wow. Okay.
And so many of them are willing to give back, and they're willing to help to vet that vet the curriculum that's coming out. They're willing to interview folks and then give feedback, you know, to the school. So I think that's one thing. And then create pathways where we can have incremental success. So things like what you're doing in continuing education, which is making sure that people can get a certificate and kind of get started. And then what's great about this industry is so many of our companies have educational, you know, they pay for people's education as they come into the field. So people can get additional education as they start to see their pathway. And so having those certificates that they can go in, get started, have some experience and get into the field, those are going to be things that colleges and universities could need to continue to do, because we need that strong pipeline.
Nice. I mean, it sounds like, you know, there's a lot of purpose there, and there's a lot of, you know, assistance and aid, right? I think, you know, one of the things that as an individual who came from a heavy background of like doing nonprofit work and community organizing, you know, as a former educator, you know, it sounds a lot of the work that you folks at BioComma do, I mean, in my opinion, sounds like community-based pedagogy and, you know, access and work, right? So
yes.
It's amazing. And I think that, you know, it's just so beautiful. So as you know, we're in 2025, and it's been a little interesting and colorful so far. But we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of that, what do you think are the key trends impacting biomanufacturing for 2025? And do you see these certain industries intersecting with these trends?
Well, there's a couple of things. And as we look at kind of the chaotic start to this year,
yeah.
Right? There's a feeling within the industry that we need to get prepared for manufacturing here in the United States. And so I mentioned biomanufacturing is going to be doubling. We feel like with this administration's support, if we're going to continue down that path of reshoring manufacturing here to the United States again, that we really need to get prepared for that so that we've got the workers here, so that it doesn't end up being a burden on the industry if they want to come back here. So with tariffs and you start thinking about all of that stuff, if they want to bring their business back to the United States now, and we need to prepare those workers for that. So I see that as something that we have to look at. We also need to make sure that we continue to have good science and that our science is, you know, grounded in fact. So that's something that industry is really keeping their eye on, and they're going to make sure that they have an ethical responsibility to make sure that the story about the science is told and told in the appropriate way.
Sure.
In terms of other types of challenges in 2025, and I don't know that this is just particularly in the life science field, but we are certainly feeling the impact of this, is because companies aren't quite sure what's happening within administration. You know, so much of our research, I mentioned research and academia, so much of that is funded by the federal government, the research. And so without knowing what's going to happen for sure with all of that, there's a pause on hiring right now for many companies as, as they try to figure out what's going to happen. I don't know that that's going to last very long, but that's what we're seeing right now. So I do expect employment to be impacted here, at least for the first few months, for 6 months maybe, and then we can retake a look at that. But those are some of the issues that that we're hearing from industry right now that they're facing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And it's not just – your sector, right? I mean, like a lot of different industries and sectors are being impacted and, you know, putting a pause, a gentle pause on like hiring and, you know, new employments. But yeah. So, I mean, like you gesture to the current administration and given the political, regulatory and environmental landscape, how does Biocom and California Institute adapt to ensure its continued success and have a pathway forward?
Yeah, so I mentioned we are a nonprofit organization. We are sponsored by Biocom to some degree, and then we have grants and other things. So really the way that we're looking at this is we're hoping that we are able to connect with workforce development boards that are continuing to do this good work. We look at philanthropic groups to make sure that we can have some financial sustainability and financial security so that we can continue to do the work that we're doing. And then, of course, the partnerships with industry themselves, making sure that folks who come through all of these programs that we just talked about, that whoever comes through those programs, that they've got a place to land. So, you know, just making sure that we're continuing those conversations. That's really our plan right now. We're looking at finances because we don't know how executive orders or any of the other things are going to be impacting us. But we feel like that no matter who's the president or what administrations come in, a strong, skilled workforce is what's driven America.
Yeah.
And we strongly believe in that. And we believe that our citizens should have the first right to be able to get jobs here and that they should have living wage jobs. And so we're just going to continue that work.
Job security, right?
And job security.
Job security, yeah. What you just mentioned, Vicky, is like, I think it's something I want you to maybe touch upon too. Is like, you know, you mentioned workforce development, philanthropy and partnerships, right? Can you just like stress how important these partnerships and these different forms of collaboration are to you folks?
It's everything to us, honestly. Yeah. This is some of the most important work that I believe that we do, making sure that we are hearing the concerns of the industry and that we're also addressing the concerns of the community, the job seeker, the student, so that we can be that bridge and so that we can be that voice for both sides. That's very, very important to us. It's what I feel like at my core is the work that we do. And if we continue just to keep working on that, I think we'll see this sector continue to grow and strengthen. I mean, we talked about at the beginning, you know, second largest sector in the fifth largest economy. That's in the world. You know, California is a big engine and a big driver. What we don't want to see happen is we don't want to lose that talent out of California. I spent a little time this morning even talking with some elected officials about the importance of workforce and how and they're all in agreement. They don't want this talent to leave California. Yeah. So let's make sure that we can secure the industry, that we are friendly to the industry that is supplying these incredible jobs. You know, the average wage for a life science job in California is about $150,000 a year.
Wow.
So it's a great industry to be in.
Yeah. You're making me want to be in life science now,
too. There you go. That's my job.
Poach. Anyways. I mean, so like one of the partnerships you folks have is with, I mean, you mentioned it previously, with Cal State Long Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have a very robust and a diverse student population. You know, Long Beach is a amazing city and, you know, we just are a part of the greater Southern California, which is dynamic and beautiful and resilient. So one of the tenets in the College of Professional and Continuing Education or in, you know, college extension, university extension is the idea of lifelong learning. And so how does lifelong learning support this industry?
Well, as you can imagine, this industry is changing all the time.
Yeah.
We're always learning something new. There's always new applications to apply, new ways to think about things. So lifelong learning is really embedded into the core of this industry. And that's why the industry and most companies support education, continuing education, through stipends for, you know, for their employees, is because this is not a one and done sort of an industry. It's all, you're always having to learn new things. You're always having to adapt and grow. So if you like that kind of environment, this is an environment for you. If you want to just have a job where you're, it's pretty much stable, you know, stays the same, this is not going to be the, this is not going to be the place for you. So our industry partners and our companies are always looking for people who have that mindset of always learning, always growing, and coming back to them and saying, hey, I found this great course. I want to do this. Yeah. I want to do something else. And so that's why we love the partnership with Cal State Long Beach, and especially with continuing education, is because you understand that, and you understand how to make it easy for students to come in, get the skills that they need right now so that they can go on and apply those immediately to their jobs.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it resonates, what you just said, resonates with the previous interviews we've had on this podcast, Dr. Tom O'Brien and Dr. Noel Hasagaba, who, like, we're talking about, you know, the importance of the person and the importance of the person moving forward with these companies and with, like, different career paths, right? You previously mentioned at the beginning of this interview that there's a place for everybody. And so it isn't, like, one size fits all. It's like, you know, everyone is welcome to come, right? And one thing that we had talked about in previous interviews and podcasts is just like, it's never too late to reimagine your life. You don't have to be pigeonholed and stuck somewhere. If you want to dream, you dream big, you know?
Yes.
And you're able to go reach beyond the boundaries of what life has given you, right? And so I think that with, like, nonprofits and organizations like Biocom, Institute of California, and Cal State Long Beach College of Professional Continuing Education, we try to facilitate that, right? And from whatever you've just mentioned, Vicky, like, I think you and your organization is a testament to that, right? That to reach beyond the boundaries, to reach beyond what limitations have been placed on you, right? Possibility. I think that's a key word there.
No, I think you're absolutely right, and that's why we feel that there's a place for everybody, and you don't have to feel that way. And you don't have to feel like that you have to be a math whiz or you've got to be really good at science. There's a place for you, and you can find that in this sector. And with a little bit, just like the certificate program that's offered here, you know, with that certificate in hand, you can go out and you can find a place.
Nice.
So it's not as scary as you think it is. And we have a life science workforce symposium that I'll just plug here for a moment. It's free. We have it across the three major regions. So there's really three hubs within California for life science, and that's San Diego, Los Angeles, and the Bay Area. And so we host a life science workforce symposium every year. It's going to be in August this year. And we provide information all day long about different career options that you can have. It's free to anybody who wants to come to it. It's free to the community. And this is a place where our industry colleagues come in and they talk about their own career journey.
Nice.
And how they didn't start here. You know, they didn't, a lot of them didn't come from academia or with PhDs. They came from a different place and they had this career pathway that led them to this place. And so hearing from folks that started out with a high school diploma and then went on and got an undergrad degree and then went and did amazing things in this industry, you're going to hear all of those things. So, you know, if you're interested in, like, learning more about what those opportunities are available to you, and then you can go back and you can see, well, what are the gaps that I need to fill? And I know that Cal State Long Beach has a number of programs that can fill some of those gaps as people identify them.
Of course, yeah. It's like, lead by example, and it's great that you have folks come and talk to individuals who are interested in the industry, right? So I was just curious, just quickly, is do you guys offer mentorships or any of that? Or?
Yeah, so the program that I mentioned to you about the veterans and the first-generation college graduates, yeah. their Life Science Career Exploration Fellowship, that's a mentorship program.
Okay, okay.
So they get a one-on-one mentor. That's a person we have people who are at the manager level or above that are mentors for those fellows. And the entire premise of our fellowship program is to introduce and expand their networks. We know that about 60% of first-generation college graduates don't actually get a job in the field where they got their degree. And so we want to change that in life science and in any other degree program that you had. So we have mentors who come from all kinds of backgrounds. So our fellowship program is started in January, goes through June. And we have folks that are looking at jobs in finance or people that are looking for jobs in facilities management, supply chain, other things, not just science. So that program also provides them with a number of networking opportunities where they can meet other industry folks and that they can expand their network. So we see people coming into that program might have one or two connections within it. When they finish the 6 month, they've got over 20 connections within the, and that's all free. That's free to the free to the fellows, and it's all volunteered by the industry.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, paying it forward, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So just one last question for you, Vicky. I mean, just so we end, since we're in a university and we're focusing on students and career paths, what advice would you give new students who want to grow and further their skills to meet the demands of this industry?
Just continue to be curious and don't think that you've got to go down the pathway of science to do it, although we need scientists and we need engineers. But if this sounds like an industry that, you know, with this higher calling and, you're really looking for something to do that where you can give back to humanity and sort of, you know, make the world a little bit better place, start to explore those opportunities. Take one of the certificate programs to get like an intro to biotech and what it means and try to understand the terminology. Look around for different opportunities to be able to visit and take tours. We offer tours to local industry companies. And so there's a lot of opportunities to be able to do things like that. So I would just say continue to be curious about this particular field and don't think that you have to have a certain pathway to get to it.
Yeah. Basically what we said in the beginning of the intro, be inquisitive, right?
Yes.
Be inquisitive, like keep searching, keep pacing, right? Thank you, Vicky, for joining us and, you know, with all the great insight and the great conversation. We really appreciate you being here with us.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in to Pacing Your Future. We hope today's installment has inspired you and provided valuable insights into the dynamic world of industry and innovation. Stay tuned with us for more stories, opportunities, and expert advice to help you navigate and shape your future. Until next time, keep pacing your future with confidence and curiosity.